Thanks very much, Jules. I want to persuade you today that the fabric of Australian community life is fraying. That the civic ties, the interpersonal bonds that hold us together, the community organisations that we're a part of, are no longer as strong as they once were. That Australians, in a word, have become disconnected. Let me run you through some of the things that have happened. If you go back to the 1960s, one in three Australians was an active member of a community organisation. Now, it's less than one in five. If you go to the organisations themselves, you can see the collapse before your eyes. A local newspaper in Western Australia had a front page story about the Country Women's Association in their town. It had once involved more than half the women in the town. It had owned buildings. And now its front page story had just three remaining members, two with grey hair. It's not just the CWA, you go to the Scouts, Guides, Rotary, Lions. All of these organisations are shedding members. In fact, we're even shedding associations. The Australian Directory of Associations featured 7,000 associations in the 1970s. Now, it's a bit over 4,000. We're not building civic associations like we used to. Australian community life is under threat. You see it in our churches as well. If you go into a church today, chances are there'll be plenty of space in the pews. And those pews that remain will be occupied by people who've retired. That's because the cohort of World War II has continued going to church as they once did. But young Australians aren't churchgoers anymore. At the end of the war, half of us went to church at least once a month. Now, about a fifth of us attend church once a month. Catholics call it Mass, but it's increasingly becoming a misnomer. Church sales are on the increase. In Victoria, the Uniting Church alone sells an average of six churches a year. And it's gotten so bad, they produced a booklet for parishioners to help cope with the fact that their beloved church has now been changed into a funky cafe, into new buildings for IT companies, or is just sitting disused. We see it also in the workplace. We think of unions often as bodies that campaign for higher wages and better conditions, and they do that. But unions also serve a social role. Unions are also the organisations that are sometimes the glue that hold a workplace together. They organise the barbecues. They show new people around. They'll put on the local soccer game. But, like churches, unions are emptying out. In the early 80s, half the workforce was in a union. Now, less than a fifth of Australians are members of a union. Australian unions are increasingly on the wane. We see it in politics, too. In the early 2000s, I wrote a book on why Australians don't trust their politicians and how the problem had gotten worse. The publishers thought the issue was best characterised by a cover illustration of one dog sniffing another dog's backside, which I think means that I am one of only two politicians whose book has been banned for sale in the Parliamentary Library bookstore. They actually thought the image was too offensive. The other book is, of course, Mark Latham's A Conga Line of Suckholes, collection of political quotations. Australians are increasingly failing to turn up to the ballot box, or if they do, they're spoiling their ballot paper. My own electorate of Fraser, the number of informal votes doubled at the last election, from 2,500 to 5,000. That worries me. Those guys might be voting for someone else, but I want them to have their democratic say. And increasingly, Australians are choosing not to participate in the democratic process. We see it in our political parties too. go back to the pre-war period, and 1 in 100 Australians are members of the Liberals. 1 in 100 Australians, members of the Labor Party. 1 in 100 Australians, members of the National Party. Now those figures are more like 1 in 400, 1 in 300. Joining a political party just doesn't happen anymore. And when it comes to organised sports, we've also seen a substantial decline. Australians don't play sports as we once did. We're much less likely to be part of an organised sport. We love to think of ourselves as a proud sporting nation. But really what we are is a nation of sports watchers. Arnott's once ran a biscuit campaign which said if you couldn't bowl a ball, if you couldn't hold a bat, you wouldn't be an Aussie. You wouldn't be true blue. My guess is these days Arnott's wouldn't dare run a biscuit campaign like that because so few Aussies can hold a ball or hold a bat or bowl a ball. And you can see what's happened with the organised sport just by looking at our waistlines. Over the last 20 years, the average Australian bloke's put on 6 kilos. The average Australian woman has put on 5 kilos. Our girths are expanding as the amount of time we spend playing sport is declining. And most strikingly, when I looked into this issue, we are losing friends. I found a survey that had been asked in the 1980s, which said, how many friends do you have you think you could trust? Would really keep a confidence. And Ipsos Mackay fielded again in the 2000s. I found that over that two-decade span, the average Australian had lost 2 friends. 2 friends had melted away into the ether. So the network of people that we can confidently trust has declined. The survey also asked about neighbours. It says, how many neighbours do you know who you could drop in on, uninvited, to ask a small favour? And that's declined too. The average Australian's lost 1.5 neighbours they could drop in on uninvited. Or if you're the kind of person that doesn't have half neighbours, every other Australian has lost 3 neighbours that they can drop in on. Part of that's because more of us are living alone. Increasingly, we come home to empty apartments. There's something to be said for that. It was, after all, Virginia Woolf who spoke about the virtues of a room of one's own. But it builds social isolation. It means more and more we are unable to engage in that simple conversational interplay that comes from getting home from a day at work. So there's less organisations. We're less likely to be part of those organisations. We're less likely to be involved in the unions, less likely to be going to church. We have fewer neighbours and fewer friends that we can trust. But the problem with all of this is that the trends that have driven it aren't trends we want to reverse. As the saying goes, nostalgia is not what it used to be. And no one wants to return to a 1970s which didn't have the internet, didn't have TV, where cars were more expensive. Those changes have dramatically lowered civic connectedness. But those changes have also been tremendously good for society. So the challenge for us today is not to wind back the clock, to somehow take all of Australia back to a 1950s where gender pay discrimination was rampant, the White Australia policy made us a much more boring, homogenous nation, and where community connectedness was high. The challenge is to build community connectedness in a technologically savvy, more diverse Australia. And I don't think government is the agency that is best placed to do that. Frankly, the Australian government isn't very good at helping you join organisations. It's not very good at finding your friends. The Australian government, historically, has not been the main institution that has helped people get to know their neighbours. So a civic renaissance involves all of us. And let me, in my remaining few minutes, give you a few ideas that I think could help build a civic renaissance. First of all, I think you should hold a street party. Street parties are amazingly easy to organise. My wife Gwyneth and I organise our street party once a year. It takes us all of an hour. We write out a little invitation, photocopy it, put it in people's letterboxes. The acronym BYO means that we don't have to organise catering, but we get to meet all of our neighbours. It so happens I like my neighbours, but this would be worth doing even if I didn't. If you see someone carrying a TV out of a neighbour's house, who do you think is more likely to shout out? Someone who came to the street party last year or someone who didn't? Second, I think you should donate. First, you should donate because it's good for the organisation, good for recipients like the Inspire Foundation. But secondly, you should donate because it is good for you. When neuroscientists put brain scanners on people and ask them to think about donating money to a cause they care about, the parts of the brain that light up are the same parts of the brain that light up if that person is asked to think about food or sex. Donating is good for you because altruism is something that we all value. Thirdly, I want you to use technology to empower civic connectedness, not detract from it. Use applications like meetup.com, like the apps that allow you to tell your friends which cafe or bar you're in. Shy away from applications that are a substitute for face-to-face interactions. Emotions are better than emoticons. There is something more substantial about being a real friend than a Facebook friend. Don't allow gaming, internet, TV to crowd out the things in life that matter, the human connections with one another. Fourth, I think you should try a new activity. In studies that look at dementia patients, they find it's possible to stave off the onset of dementia by a year or two, simply by trying a new activity every day. Walk up to someone you don't know, say good day. Join an organisation that looks like it might be interesting. Try a new radio station and expose yourself to new ideas. Trying new activities is a great way to build civic connectedness, but also to improve the strength of those motor neurons. And finally, I want you to contact two politicians. Rogan's right. There isn't enough political contact by young Australians. I get a couple of hundred emails a day from my constituents, but a disproportionate share of those are from my older constituents. It's great to hear from them, but I also want to hear from the teens, the 20-somethings. And, as you knew from the book cover illustration I told you before, you can think of politicians a little bit like dogs. We behave well to praise and to criticism. So for those two politicians you're approaching, I want you to tell one something you like that they've done, and the other something you dislike. Contact politicians because it strengthens the civic fabric that has made Australia so powerful. An Australian civic renaissance is within reach, but it starts with all of us. Thank you.